In late January, Education Minister Erica Stanford and Finance Minister Nicola Willis announced the latest development in their approach to supporting disabled children in Aotearoa, $44 million of funding to build two new special schools. These schools signal a focus on providing options for parents to support their children who need it with a choice for specialised support, but are not without criticism. Experts have expressed concern that this move is turning towards strengthening the exclusion of disabled children from Aotearoa's youth and education, and have instead argued in favour of a more inclusive approach. I spoke with Senior Lecturer in Education and Social Practice at the University of Auckland, Dr. Jude MacArthur, about this announcement, what it means in the context of this government, and what we should be seeing instead for the best outcomes for all of our young people in Aotearoa. What actually will this funding look like, both in terms of the rollout and the final product?
Well, I think we have yet to see that. So the funding is for two schools, one in Palmerston North and one in Drury in South Auckland. And I think, you know, you will have seen that the announcement came with a sort of declaration that this was timely because there have been no new special schools built in New Zealand for the past 50 years. So that's the context for that. And I guess my perspective on this is that it's a bit of a surprising announcement, given that around about the same time, the Minister signed an agreement between the Ministry of Education and IHC to have a bit of a better, closer look, you know, at where funding is going for disabled students in this country.
And looking both at those agreements like the IHC and the buzz in the government, what has Erica Stanford and the government presented as kind of the intent and reasoning behind this specific move?
Well, from the announcement, which was actually made by Minister Stanford and Willis, it appears that the decision is motivated by a desire to provide parents with a choice for segregated education in special schools for disabled children. And I guess, you know, for those of us working in the area of inclusive education, it's an interesting point, because we would argue that, you know, our policies in New Zealand support inclusive education for disabled children, and that means a quality education with good resources and supports going to local schools, so that parents genuinely have that choice, you know, the choice of an inclusive education in their local school. It's an interesting decision because while this is upholding choice for parents for segregation, I guess we would argue that parents who want their children to go to their local school, which is what our policies say, you know, they have the right, and our legislation also supports that, we would say that parents don't have that choice at the moment. So a question then becomes, well, why are we putting, you know, education resourcing into segregation when we know that that resourcing is really desperately needed in local schools so that parents genuinely have that choice of inclusion?
And with that said, looking at this inclusion, or rather the exclusion, you've called this a wrong-headed decision. Why is it that exclusion is a concern in terms of this funding and these programs?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a reason why we have not had new special schools built for 50 years. And the rationale that sits behind that is in part to do with what we know to be the effects of segregation for disabled people. And so this question about education is important because it's part of a much bigger picture about the kind of society that we want to have for disabled children, both today and in their future as disabled adults in our society. You know, do we want that society to be inclusive? Do we want it to reflect a valuing of the diversity of people who we have in our communities? And if the answer to that is yes, and I would certainly say yes, that is the kind of society we want, we need to address the point that children spend a lot of their childhood in our school communities, and our school communities therefore are vital places where we begin to build that inclusive society that we want for children now and in their future as adults. So I'm not sure if that's answered your question well, but it seems to me that allocating funding to segregated settings for disabled children is a backward step in terms of our desire to move ahead in this area. Now, the other thing that I want to mention is that internationally and in New Zealand, our research clearly shows that inclusive schools are the best place for disabled children. And when I say inclusive schools, I don't mean, and I and my colleagues who work in this area do not mean just placing disabled children in their local school. That local school needs to be well-resourced, well-funded, well-supported, so that teachers know how to teach the diverse groups of children who are in their local community and that they're able to do that well. So it means giving the schools the funding they need, and it means giving teachers the time they need to be able to collaborate with others to ensure that, you know, they're meeting every child's need well.
And with that said then, looking towards the well-being of our disabled rangatahi, what do you want to see from the government in terms of kind of bringing in this research into inclusive learning environments? If this is the way to go, what do you want to see?
You know, we already have some really good material from the Ministry of Education that teachers can access now and on the Ministry of Education's own website. And, you know, for me, that's a good thing, isn't it? Because, I mean, it's upholding what I've just said as being a desirable place for our schools now to be for children. So there's some good work that's been done in the past to enhance this inclusive education. We should be grabbing that with our hands and saying, let's do the best that we really can at every level of our education system to ensure that parents have this genuine choice of inclusive education so that our schools are well-resourced and are able to provide that for our young children and young people. So it's about that, taking that as a commitment and then just working with it and making sure the resourcing goes in that direction.
And so just looking at that point of the resourcing, looking at this inclusiveness in both in contrast and alongside the government's steps with this announcement of $44 million, is this a pivot and go in another direction, or is this kind of just wanting to see this overall funding across all zones for our disabled children?
I mean, I think it is a pivot, if we look at the agreement that the Minister has just signed with IHC in December, and which is about the same time that this decision to fund the special schools was made, if we look at that agreement, one of the things that agreement says, and what the Minister has agreed to, is that we need to look more closely at where funding and resourcing is going and what is effectively a dual system of education in this country. And again, when I say dual system, we've got segregated special schools on the one hand and segregated education systems like special classes and special units and so on the one hand, and then we have inclusive education on the other hand, which is, you know, go to your local school and get the supports and resources you need there. That dual system is internationally known to be problematic. You know, it's difficult to uphold two systems of education and to fund both of them well. And so the agreement with IHC that the Minister has signed, I think, is a really excellent starting point now, because what it says is, let's look at where we are currently putting our resources in this dual system, and let's look at the effects of that in terms of equity for disabled children. And I think we know enough already from research that has been done and from reports that have been written by ERO and other groups, NZEI for example, we already know that inclusive education is under-resourced in this country. So that agreement now is a really good starting point, and I would say that before we make any more big funding decisions like this one, it behoves us to really get a better understanding of where the money is going, for whom and who, where are children actually missing out? And then let's use that evidence, that data, to make decisions which are really well supported by the evidence. You know, we're sort of at a turning point here, and, you know, as a nation, we really need to be making good evidence-based decisions about where our money is going, and keeping in mind that this is about, you know, how we understand education for all children in this country, and to really keep in mind that connection with the question of what kind of society do we want for our children, both now and in the future, and I mean all children, including disabled children. So I've quoted Sir Robert Martin on this in the past, and I'll do it again now, that, you know, Sir Robert Martin was an amazing advocate for disabled people, and who had himself lived a segregated life through no fault of his own, and was educated in a segregated setting. And he said, you know, there is no special society. And so therefore, it's really important that we design an education system that includes all children and, you know, helps us to work towards that more inclusive society.
That was the University of Auckland's Dr. Jude MacArthur on the move for special schools and why we should turn to a more inclusive approach to support our disabled rangatahi.